Hello, everyone. You're listening to Fade Family Worship Center's podcast number 161 for February 13, 2011. We have a special speaker this week. His name is Pastor Chuck Coy, and he'll be sharing his message titled, Get in the Fire of God. Enjoy.
I'm so thankful for all of our partners in the ministry with Faith Family Worship Center and Brother Andy and the different ones. Just as Brother Andy was saying, I mean, on a regular basis, we pray two specific scriptures for all of you and for the partners of the ministry. And Lucy knows those scriptures because I've talked to her about them. But in 3 John 2, it says, above all things, that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And then the Jabez prayer, that you're blessed indeed, that your territory is being expanded, the hand of God is up on your life, and that all evil is kept from you in Jesus' name. And it amazes me, because as he gets up here and shares, he tells you, you know, I started with nothing. And it wasn't that long ago that he did start with nothing, but he didn't tell you what he has now. And because he's a humble man, he wants to see you blessed. But about 10 or 12 years ago, it may even be longer than that now, we were talking and he said, Chuck, he said, the Lord's put it in my heart, wherever you go, whether around the country in the U.S. ministering, doing missions work, ministering, and around the world, if you do not have the money for an airline ticket, please give me the honor and call me and I will keep you in the air. Well, that was about 12 years ago. Tens of thousands of dollars has this man helped us to continue to get into the nations, to continue to do what we're doing right now, and blessing people and helping people. And we give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. And so what he's talking about, he's living it. It's amazing because Brother Andy, and I've told him before, and I've told others, I said, listen, if I'm having some challenges in the area of battling against sickness in my own body, he's one of the first persons that I call, because he's a bulldog with a bone in his mouth, and he's chomped down on that thing concerning divine health as well as prosperity and stewardship. And so I encourage you to hear what he has shared with you, and I know some of you. And Lucy, I'm looking at you right now because you were probably shouting louder than anybody else. Talk to Andy after the service. He will be available, and anybody else. Andy's a businessman. He's a businessman. He's been walking with the Lord for years. He's got his own missions right there in Springfield, Illinois. He gets guys, you know, right fresh out of prison and people off the street. They come and they he's got a mission right there. He's in the thick of it. He lives right there in the center of it. And he's helping a lot of people. At the same time, in the midst of that, God has blessed him and prospered him and his family. And he's helping to propagate the gospel around the world. So hallelujah for that. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me. I noticed here, let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. Did you guys see my glasses? Did I put them? Isn't that funny? I'm 50 years old. I'm young. They've made it to the floor somewhere. Oh, there they are. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. I didn't have to have these just a few years ago. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Seeing. Good. He doesn't wear glasses. I could go on telling you some other testimonies about this guy. Listen, 2 Chronicles, before I go there, I want to say this. Those of you that don't know me, I'm Brother Chuck. Nice to meet you. I'm American by birth, but I'm Filipino by choice. I think I notice I'm the only one here with the Barang Tagalog. Aha. So, and I've been married to a Filipino for 21 years. And she's the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world, a model of goodness. And she told me to tell Pastor Archie and Sister Lolette and the congregation, she sends her love and greetings to all of you. And she wished she could be here with us. At least you got to see a picture of her. Amen. 2 Chronicles, and chapter 5, verse 11. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, and verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most high place, for all the priests were present, had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Judathan with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, string instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Verse 13, indeed it came to pass. I like that word, indeed. It came to pass. Glory to God. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Verse 14, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We approach it with reverence and honor and respect. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us and help us to grow spiritually, that we can be the doers of the word that you've called us to be, that we can walk as imitators of Christ. Because you have created us in your image and your likeness. And that creative power that was within you is within us. And that we can, just as you spoke the word, we can speak the word. And Father, as we do that, I thank you that the anointing of God is released. And the blessings continue to flow. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. I like that as Brother Andy was sharing, he said that, you know, the Bible just keeps repeating itself over and over and over. You're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. I've blessed you. You're redeemed, you're redeemed. I've saved you. I've delivered you. That's what we need to be speaking. We need to stop speaking, oh, I'm so sick, I feel so down, I'm so blue, I don't know what to do. I'm so blue, I don't know what to do. VeggieTales song. My kids grew up on VeggieTales. No, we need to be singing, glory to God. I'm healed of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By his stripes, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And speak the word.
Yes.
My goodness, you guys have heard me share this before, but and he was in Genesis there, but Genesis starts off with God saying, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness laid upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And then something happened. It says, and God said. What did he say? Let there be light. Woo! That's where it all started, right there. Let there be light. God spoke. And what happened in the next part of that verse? There was light. I mean, God said it, bam, it happened. Hallelujah. Every time God has spoken something, bam, it happens. Hallelujah. And we've been made in his image. We've been made in his likeness. The Bible says, be an imitator of Christ. See what Jesus did, do what Jesus did. Hear what Jesus said, say what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm not doing anything but what I see my Father doing. I'm not saying anything except what I hear my Father saying. And we've got the word. We've got the contract. We've got the words to speak. And so why are we speaking anything else? We should be speaking faith-filled words. Because in the beginning, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, and there was nothing there. It was dark. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void. The word void literally means, and you've heard me say this, I can't help but saying it again, it means nothing or nothingness. Walang dito. Awanmut. Awanmutness. Walang ditoness. There was nothing there. It was without form or void. It was like blank. It was dark. But the Spirit of God was there, and he was moving. The Bible says he was moving. I'm moving right now. And the Spirit of God was moving. What was he moving? What was he doing? He was waiting for something. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth, to say one word. That's what he was waiting for. And when he said that word, when the Holy Ghost spoke, God spoke through the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit was released, and boom, he did his thing. I said, he did his thing. Glory to God. When we speak healing, God can do his thing. Thank God for doctors. I'll tell you what, most men could not do what your pastor does. And having a medical career and pastoring a church, it takes a very unique man and a very unique gracing of God upon a man's life. We thank God for medicine and doctors. But I'll tell you what, there's something about, and Pastor Archie agrees with me, we've talked about it, there's something about the faith, having faith in God for divine health. There's something about, that's the best way to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Take the spiritual medicine. You know, a lot of times we get this physical medicine, and we're taking that physical medicine because we believe that it's going to help our physical bodies. And yet God has given us a spiritual medicine. It's speaking the word on the subject of divine health. How many of you have been sick before? Yeah, I think all of us have fought sickness. Yes. How many of you took your spiritual medicine? Well, how do you take your spiritual medicine? Do you close your mouth? When those pills are sitting at your counter, or that medicine sitting in the bottle, do you look at it and go, No, you have to open your mouth and put it in and drink some water. Isn't that right? It's the same thing with the spiritual medicine. You open your mouth and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You've sent your word to heal me. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll call, when the sickness, they'll call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint with oil and they'll be forgiven and healed of the Lord. And there's about 100 other healing scriptures throughout the Bible that are promises. And all we have to do is open our mouth. Speak the word. Hallelujah. Well, these guys were all together in one accord. Now turn with me just a couple chapters over to chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7 and verse 1, when Solomon had finished praying. What do you do when you pray? You speak. You open your mouth. Solomon had finished praying, or he had been speaking to God, and he finished. And what happened? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire had come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord. What did all the Israelites do when they saw the glory of the Lord in there? They got down on their knees and they opened their mouth. And they began to praise and they began to worship the Lord. And they said, for he is good and his mercies endureth forever. You see a pattern in these two scriptures. You see the word being spoken. You see unity. But you see them saying with their mouth, for he is good and his mercies endureth forever. I sat under Brother Hagin for the years that I was in Rhema, graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center in 1991, had him as a personal instructor. I'm talking about Brother Hagin Sr. Every time he got up to minister, every time, whether it was a camp meeting, a winter Bible seminar, or a Rhema class, every time he got up to minister, he said, now say it with me, everyone. The Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. And he say, okay, let's say it one more time. The Lord is good, and his mercies endureth forever. Hallelujah. There's something about saying the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Because he is good. He is good. And his mercies do endure forever. What is the mercies of God? Healing, prosperity, blessings after blessing after blessing. Hallelujah. But there's something about these two scriptures that give us a pattern. We need to be opening our mouth. One thing. We need to be staying in unity, another thing. We need to be putting the praisers out front. We need to be praying. You can see a lot of different things that need to be done. But what we need to do is get out of the smoke and get into the fire.
Amen.
How many of you remember, you know, when you had a barbecue and you're getting the charcoal or the wood, maybe back home in the Philippines, or maybe here you got that fancy gas grill. But I mean, you got that charcoal going and it's just getting going and it's smoking a little bit. And all of a sudden that smoke's coming up, then the wind changes and the smoke blows right in your face. Any of you ever had that happen? What happens when smoke blows in your face? It chokes you a little bit. It causes your eyes to water a little bit and you can't see. Isn't that right? Yeah. I remember as a Boy Scout growing up over in Illinois, we were, you know, learning as Boy Scout how to build a campfire. You know, you're being taught and your Boy Scout leaders are teaching you, don't play with fire, you'll get burned. And they're also teaching you how to make a fire, but there's a right way to make a fire and there's a purpose in making a fire. But what happens when you get that grill? And I'm talking more of a, with charcoal or with, like we use back home in the Philippines, just some wood or some charcoal, and you get that fire burned down real good, and you got what I call a coal base, all red hot embers. Red hot embers. Man, that's the time that you can throw that, you know, that baboy, or that manok, or that lechon. That's the time you can put that meat on the grill and it's got those red hot coals coming up and there's an extreme heat and maybe a little bit of fire. A lot of times in those fires, the blue flame is the hottest. If you talk to a guy that does welding, my brother's an underwater welder. As a matter of fact, he's out in the Gulf of Mexico, about 400 feet down in his whole gear, and he's on a project with oil pipes out there. But the red flame of a welding torch is the hottest flame. You put your finger on a blue flame welder's torch, it's gonna burn real fast. You can play around with the campfire with the yellow and the orange flames and put your hand over it like this, and kids will play with the match, put their hand over it and say, "Ooh, look." And it doesn't really, if they do it fast enough, it doesn't really burn them. But you do that with a blue flame, put it there for a second or wave it by, you're going to have a burn on your fingers or on your hands. Now, why am I talking about this? Because God wants to establish a coal base on the inside of our spirits. That every time the challenges come, every time the wind and the turmoils of life begins to blow, that coal base, it's red hot embers, the fire of God on the inside of us, and the turbulence come, and the winds come, and the storms of life come, and then, because you get a red hot coal base, all you have to do is give it a little oxygen, and the torch and the flame comes again, and it only takes a second, it only takes a moment of time. We need to get out of the smoke and into the fire of God. We need to keep ourselves fired up for the things of God. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Turn with me just a moment over to the New Testament. In Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy's gospel. Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "Therefore I remind you," Paul writing Timothy, he says, "to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." One translation says, "to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or power, God has not given us a spirit, but of power and of love and sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." In verse 6, Paul writing Timothy here, he says, "Therefore, I remind you." You see, it's so important for us every week to come to church, because really a lot of what Pastor does is he's just reminding you of what the Word says. He's reminding you. We know what the Word says. We've heard the Word. Many of us have heard it over and over and over and over and over, but we need to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded? Because sometimes we forget. Why do we need to be reminded? Because as Annie said earlier, the devil immediately comes to steal that word that's been planted in our hearts. It's so funny sometimes, because you can come out of a service and you can talk to people and they say, oh, Pastor, that's such a good message. Wonderful. Amazing. I was so blessed. I said, what did I talk about? It was good. Man, the devil comes right away to steal that word, because the enemy knows if that word gets planted into your heart and that good soil and that fire of God is burnt, man, the enemy knows he's busted. He knows he's a defeated foe. See, Jesus defeated the enemy. We enforce the victory. I said, Jesus defeated the enemy. We enforce the victory. What is enforcing the victory? Well, you remember when you were a kid, growing up as a kid, we used to play, I don't know if we called it the same thing in the Philippines, but here we used to call it King of the Hill. And I think you guys did it, but you called it a different name, but you got up on a hill, and girls played it too, but mainly boys. And the object of the game is one boy was picked to be the king of the hill, and then all the other boys' object was to climb the hill and knock him down and then have the new king on the hill. You remember that? We called it King of the Hill. But there was a great advantage point of the kid on the top of the hill, because he could see all the way around him. He had what we call the bird's eye view, or an advantage point view of the different ones coming up. So he'd kick them, he could push them back down. You know, he could stay. But then if somebody knocked him down off the hill, then that guy was the next king of the hill. And the object of the game is to stay on top. I mean, some kids play it on picnic tables, you know, hills, snow. You can play it out there on the pile of snow out in the parking lot. You see, Jesus has defeated the devil.
Amen.
But the enemy's trying to climb up to where we're at to knock us down. But thanks be unto God. We have the victory. Thank God that we have the bird's eye view. Thank God we can be prayed up and ready and speak the word instead of having to physically kick the kid down. We can speak the word. No, you don't, devil. Nope. You're trespassing. You have no right to be here. If June would have known those guys were going to ransack his house, he could have spoke in Jesus' name and canceled that. There's something about staying prayed up, staying in the Spirit, staying on fire for God. We need to stay on fire. We need to get out of the smoke and into the fire. So Paul, writing Timothy, said, I remind you to fan into flame the gift. I remind you to allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. Because when you do and you allow the Spirit of God to move in your life, then that gifting and that gracing and that word coming out of you and that talent and that ability, it'll flow like a river, and there'll be the blessings of God released in your own life, in your family's life, and toward others. Fan into flame the gift of God. He says, I remind you. To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then you turn back to 2 Timothy. We see it again very clear. First Timothy. That was 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy 4. Verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Meditate on what things? Verse 11, go up to verse 11. Meditate on these things, verse 11. These things. So in verse 15, it says, meditate on these things. We're talking about getting in the fire, staying in the fire, staying in the, having the zeal of God burning in your life, flowing with the gifts that God has given you. And he says, do not neglect. You know what the word neglect means? It means don't pay any attention to that. How many of you, when you were growing up, you had some friends and there was one kid that was kind of an outcast or an oddball or something about that kid, and you told your friends, just ignore him. Don't pay attention to him. Give him the cold shoulder. You know what the cold shoulder is? Women are really good at that. Especially with other women, they're like, acting like she didn't walk in, and you know, they're trying to give the cold shoulder, ignore. What they're doing is they're neglecting that person. God said, do not neglect the blessing that he's given you, the gifting, the talent, the gracing, the abilities that he's given. And he said, use what you have. Because when you're using what you have, then you're keeping that coal base, you're keeping that fire going. Hallelujah. Do not neglect this gift which is in. So how do we do this? Verse 15 says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. What things? Back up to verse 11. These things. Command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. There's six things there listed. Six things that we're not to, we're to meditate upon these things. We're to give ourselves entirely to these things. You guys know that if you meditate upon something, it's not, you know, Buddha and shaking the fat belly. No, that's not meditation. Or it's not Hare Krishna or going to a palm reader or something. The biblical word for meditation literally means to utter or to speak or to say over and over. And so when we're meditating upon the Word of God, we just begin to say it. We begin to speak it and say it over and over until it goes from head knowledge or memorized knowledge and drops down into our spirit man. It goes from head knowledge to heart truth or revelation knowledge or impartation. And it takes time to start off in the physical, in the natural, in the soulless realm to meditate and to begin to say it and speak it over and over and over until the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of it and takes it and he engraves it with the fire of God and he burns it down into our spirit man. Hallelujah. And then it becomes alive in us. It becomes a part of us. I always like to give the illustration of a chalkboard. If a teacher's teaching with a chalkboard, now today we don't even hardly have, this is old fashioned already. For those of you that are under, you know, 25 years old, you don't even remember what a chalkboard and chalk and an eraser is. Because now we have all the computerized and PowerPoint presentations and all the, fancy kind of stuff. But in the day, not so long ago, because Pastor Archie and I are really young. Raj is very young. Brother Andy's young. Amen. Brother June's really young. Hallelujah. Our best days are before us. But you had a chalkboard with a teacher, and she would write down with chalk things, lessons that she was teaching, and then after she was done teaching, she would go with an eraser and she'd erase it. And then chalkboard would be clean, and then she could write more. And it's almost like we're being taught. And then the devil comes and he's got this eraser and he just erases it right away. But listen, on that same chalkboard, if you get a torch or even a chisel and you engrave or engraft with fire the things that you're talking about into the chalkboard itself, or you chisel it with a chisel and a hammer into the chalkboard itself where it literally makes a burn or it actually goes into the board itself. You can, I don't care how big your eraser is. I don't care how much water you throw on it. You go to remove it, it's staying there. Why? Because it was burned into the chalkboard. It was chiseled into the chalkboard. Mentally and soulishly, it's like we get this word and it's written into our mind, but the devil comes and just erases it. But when we'll take the time and meditate and speak it and allow the Holy Spirit to take the fire of God, Woo! The fire of God, and engrave that thing into the tablets of our heart. The devil comes in to erase it, and he keeps going. He's like, I can't get it because it's on the inside, and it's become a part of the body of Christ. And then when you need it, it's there. And when it comes out of your mouth, then there's an anointing. You can tell if someone's preaching out of memorization. You can tell, and if you can tell if someone gets up and quotes something out of memorization. Thank God for, you know, our kids, they have to memorize certain things, and that's all very important. But we can take it a step further with God and allow him to get it on the inside of us. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you by the laying on of hands. So what do we do? What are these? Continue in them. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them. What is that? That your progress may be evident to all. What are these things? Verse 12. Well, verse 11. These things command and teach. Verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Say it with me. Word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Okay, these are the things that God wants us to meditate upon. Because when we meditate upon these things, then we'll not neglect the gift of God which is in us. We'll use what God's given us. Okay, the first one, word. Word, that's what we've been hearing this morning. Speak the word, 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 word. We need to be using the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Use your sword. And if the devil starts throwing fiery darts at you, put up the shield of faith. Glory to God. Put up the shield of faith and block those fiery darts. But at the same time, a soldier, a warrior, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. A soldier, a spiritual warrior, he's going to use his sword and he's going to use his shield. He's not going to come out there with a paper plate and a butter knife and saying, devil, come on, baby. I got my paper plate and butter knife here. No, no, no. A good soldier, he's going to have his shield of faith. He's going to have the sword of the Spirit. I tell you, I walk into a place, it's amazing. And just the fact that you walk into a place and you have your sword and you have your shield of faith, I mean, the devil gets nervous. The devil knows that member of the body of Christ. I used to preach a message, Pastor, a long time ago. I haven't preached it for a while. I need to preach it again. Maybe next time I come. I entitled the message, Your Name is Known in Heaven. But do they know your name in hell? My name's known in heaven because I got born again and God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm also pretty sure that they know about Brother Chuck in hell. Because I think of the one story and the guys are there and these devils come in, they demon possess these guys and they said, you know, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but we don't know you. And man, they beat them up and stripped them and caused them bodily harm. No, wherever I go, the devil knows I'm coming. Because I take my sword. You walk into a place with a 45 on your hip, people recognize that. Now, I'm not condoning that we go anywhere with a 45 on our hip. Out west, they still wear armed. I just come from visiting my brother out in Idaho and went down to his basement, and he took me into his vault that he's put in down there. He's the one I was telling you, he's an underwater welder. And the kid's probably got $50,000 of firearms because he's a hunter. But he also, that's part of his investment, he was telling me. But we went up, he took me up on the back hill, and he said, just follow me and be quiet, Chuck. And he had given me one of the rifles with a scope. And we walked out to the back, and no more than 10 minutes, he goes like this, and I come around, and there's six elk about 100 meters away. And so I pulled up my rifle and I had him in my scope, and I knew already that elk was out of season. I was just wanting to get him in my scope just to see him a little closer. And I couldn't shoot him, but we watched him for about 5 minutes, and then he went on. He said, "You stay there." He said, because we talked before, and he brought his coyote collar thing. It sounds like a fawn or a rabbit or something that's squealing, and it's a real high pitch. And when he does this call, a lot of times when he goes out there, the coyotes come. And then what he does is he shoots the coyotes, because the coyotes are always killing his neighbor's chickens and livestock. Coyotes will get in packs and they'll go and they'll kill the farmer's animals. And so anytime my brother can call him in, or he's just driving on the road out there, he's got a rifle in his back window and he's got a big, you know, pistol under his seat. And he sees a coyote off the side, he'll just stop his truck and he'll get out. And my brother's got real sharp eyes. He's my brother, like my real brother, but we have different dads. And his dad had a Cherokee Indian in him. So my brother's got some Indian, and there's something about Indian, Igorot. My wife is Igorot Indian, and she has good eyes. And she is strong. The Igorot women are tough. You have to be careful with northerners and southerners getting together, because sometimes the northerners offend the southerners, because southerners are so quiet and peaceful and just soft-spoken. And then you get these Igorots come in and they're like, they don't mean to, but that's just, I mean, they're strong. They're strong because they're tribe. They've come out of a tribe background. They've come out of an Indian background. And so my brother, he's just got real keen eyes. And so he'll stop. He'll see a coyote, you know, 200 yards. Most guys, I'm going, "Where's that thing at? I can't. Give me your binoculars. I can't even see it. I'm looking for it." And he'll get out and he'll shoot the coyote. Because but anyway, out west, you can wear and carry firearms. But a lot of times when those guys walk in with a big gun, I mean, people notice. How many of you have ever watched, you know, any of the movies like a Gladiator, any of the warrior movies, and the guys, and they come and their shield and their sword, and they got the big muscles. They're noticed because they're strong and they're warriors. They fight. I mean, out of my wife's tribe, I don't know if you're in that same background, but they were headhunters. I mean, they would chop the other guys from the other tribes, the head off, and then drain the blood in the stream. And so the bloody water would be seen in the next village and strike fear. She knows. I always joked my wife when I got married, I said, should I wear a neck brace the first night? She has good jokes for me too. But I say that because wherever we go, we need to take our sword. Wherever we go, we need to take the shield of faith. Wherever we go, we need to be speaking the word. So the first one is the word. And let me go through the rest of these, because I know our time is running short. It's already adobo and we're starting. But you know what? We've been hungry for the word today. And God has fed us his word and his spirit today. And we need to come to church, you know, as excited as we get for weddings and funerals. We get excited in the Philippines for funerals. Why? Because there's plenty of food. I know. I've been to many funerals. You can see. But you know what? We love, as Filipinos and as Americans also, we love to eat when there's good food. And we have favorite kinds of food. One of my favorite Filipino foods is adobo. You know already, I like adobo. But anyway, as excited as we get to go to a place or a restaurant or go down after church to eat or go eat our favorite kind of food, we should be just as excited or more when we come to church to receive the word of God from our pastor and from our leaders. Because that word will build us up And it'll cause us to remember and to be reminded to take up your shield, take up the sword of the Spirit. And wherever you go, you're ready. You're a warrior for God. Amen? Okay, that's my time's up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You got the other ones that I shared. The first one, the word. The second one, conduct, love, spirit, and faith, and purity. Meditate upon these things. That's your Bible school students, especially you. That's your homework assignment from Pastor Chuck for this session of church service. You go back and you look at those scriptures, but all of us, it won't hurt us to meditate upon these things and keep the fire burning. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand as you stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this time. I thank you for Pastor Archie and Sister Lolit and Faith Family Worship Center and all the congregation of this church, Father, that all of them are blessed. Amen. Blessed indeed. Amen. Blessed coming in and going out. Yeah. Walking in divine health, prospering and flourishing. And whatever they put their hand to, they're blessed. That they'd be like trees planted near streams of water and bear much fruit in their season. Their leaves would not wither, and whatever they put their hand to would prosper and be blessed. Father, I thank you that the fire of God will continue to burn in our hearts. The wind of the Spirit is blown today. And Father, we'll not neglect the gift of God which is in us. We fan into flame the gift right now in Jesus' name. We stir up the gift of God on the inside of us right now in Jesus' name. Stir it up, Lord. Say it with me, church. Lord, stir up the gift. Fan into flame the fire of God in my spirit, that the gift of God would be used, that the grace of God would flow in my life. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I'll remember to speak your word. I'll remember to be not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Thank you, Lord. You're helping me to be a blessing. I'm blessed so I can bless others. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a big praise shout. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
And that was Pastor Chuck Coy on his sermon titled Get in the Fire of God. If you would like to join us for a Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can reach us by email at contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Our website as well is ffwcchicago.com. You can check out our news, our latest video sermons, and everything else that's going on in our church on that website. I will see you guys next week. Take care and God bless. Bye.